Attention musicians of all levels. It's not always easy picking out a song by ear. Sometimes you need a little help. Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. They're all available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. You can find out any song you want. It also has like transpose button. It has auto scroll that you can change the speed to so you can play along with the song. A lot of the songs have the lyrics there so you can sing along with them. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start playing. Start playing any song you want. Ultimate Guitar, that's the place for you. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Tom Holly.
When we talk.
All right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week. Maybe you had a short week because of the holiday on Monday and you're easing into your weekend in style by listening to How Did I Get Here. I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank everybody for listening today because I know that you have a lot of choices out there. I know that there's a lot of podcasts out there. I know that you can listen to anything you want at any moment of the day. And the fact that you've chosen to listen to this podcast right now is an honor for me. So thank you so much for listening. Gang, if this is your first time listening to the show or something, you can always subscribe to this podcast or follow it wherever it is that you find podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. If you use the Podbean app, you can access all 1,170 episodes of How Did I Get Here. The rest of them normally just have the last 20. So yeah, follow us, subscribe to us. If you really like an episode, share it on social media. On Facebook, we are How Did I Get Here? And on Instagram and Twitter, I'm at Johnny Gowdy. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You guys are great. All right. Hey, listen, gang, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, Friday, June 3rd, 2022, Skyrocket is playing in Houston at Last Concert Cafe tonight. So if you live in Houston, man, maybe get a last minute ticket if there are any available and come on out and enjoy the show. Always a good time at Last Concert Cafe. Always a good time with Skyrocket, all right? Great, great times. Gang, I have a great, great show for you today. The Kaleidoscope Kid is my guest on the show today. His brand new self-titled debut album on Suburban Noise Records is available now, wherever it is you stream and download your music. It was written, recorded, and produced by Kaleidoscope, the Kaleidoscope Kid, all recorded in a cabin. What? You say? All right, check this out. This is an amazing story, and our conversation is unbelievable. So 5 years ago, the Kaleidoscope Kid, living in Phoenix, he was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease that left him near death. He was using all Western medicine. He was in the hospital. They were like, hey, man, this is it. You're coming to the end of your life. He walked out of the hospital, left Western medicine behind, turned to Eastern medicine, especially the reishi mushroom, which he talks a lot about. You're going to want to take some notes if you want to. It's a really fascinating conversation. And the dude saved his own life by going to Eastern medicine, going to a cabin, living off the grid, with taking mushrooms and eating these reishi mushrooms, getting psychedelic with his dog Blue, who sadly has passed away since he made the album and stuff. There's a beautiful song on the album called Maniac that's about Blue. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous album. He taught himself guitar. And he just made this record that is actually unbelievable, man. It is unbelievable. This record transcends so many different genres, and it has such a great vibe, and his story is so inspiring. You can find him at tkkofficial.com. That's tkkofficial.com. The Kaleidoscope Kid. His self-titled debut album is available now wherever it is you stream and download your music. The record is fucking great. Like, they sent me the record. His publicist sent it. And, I read the story. I was like, hey, that's a really fascinating story. But, God, if these jams aren't good, it's not really worth listening to. Man, this record's fucking great. It makes me want to go and live in a cabin off the grid and learn music, like learn a different instrument and make it. The Kaleidoscope Kid, fantastic record, fantastic artist, and great conversation, super inspiring. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with this amazing artist, The Kaleidoscope Kid. Let's get down.
Sweetest sugar, love me softly, love me sweet. And her sugar is my weakness. She's the sweetest honeybee. And my baby, I've been missing all your watermelon kisses. Tell me, is this really love or just a dream?
Good, man. Can't complain. How are you?
I'm good, man. Where are you right now?
I'm in LA.
Oh, yeah? Did you move there?
Where are you at? Yeah, I just moved here like at the beginning of April.
It's fucking awesome. Man, we got so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start with
chill.
You, dude. I'm in Houston. I live in Austin, but my grandma's not been doing great. So luckily with this, I can just jump in the backyard and talk to cats like you. But she's doing all right. She had a rough week. She's almost 99.
I'm glad she's got good people around.
Yeah, she does. She's lucky.
Good.
I was sad to find out about your dog, Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys went through some shit together.
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy. I actually had a dream about him last night. And so, I woke up a little emotional today.
Yeah, that happens, man. I had a dog, a couple of dogs, but one I was particularly close to from when that died in 2020 when he was 14. Mm-hmm. That I'd had since he was just a couple months old. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, it's nice to see him every once in a while in the dream world.
Yeah. how is your health at this point?
I'm doing very good. I'm sure you've heard some of the about some of the autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
But it's been 2 years now since I've had really any flare-ups. So it's crazy to be standing where I'm at now and to be able to every once in a while just look back and be like, damn, it's been 2 years now since I've had any symptoms or flare-ups or anything like that. So we're still rolling good.
Dude, that's great. That's great to hear. Well, your album, which came out a couple weeks ago, it's self-titled, The Kaleidoscope Kid, is fucking awesome. And that's your first record? You just went and learned how to play guitar, and this is what the fuck you did? Like, that's ridiculous, dude. I'm a lifelong musician, and whenever I see that person that, like, so you have that idea of, like, hey, these motherfuckers got to pay their dues. I mean, you paid your dues, but, like, I mean, like, musical dues, like, slug it out here. But some people just fucking come out fully formed, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I had a really unique space that allowed me to facilitate.
Oh man,
music and things like that when I was out in Sedona. So like that, I have, and it was right after I got sick. So like I always tell people, like the music became when I was sick. The music was the only thing that got me through being sick, and right. So it really like I felt the music as medicine and
right.
Even beyond the music. So it really is where my bond, I feel like, was established.
Yeah. I mean, someone could go deep like that and still be bad. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
But
yours is absolutely
true.
Phenomenal,
is
man. You know? And to take all of those personal experiences and just really hit the record, like, it's the jams are awesome. And you could have playing, but when you focus in on the lyrics, you go on a ride with you.
Yeah.
On a trip, so to speak, right?
Yeah, there we go.
That's a better word to use. But yeah, real quickly, this record came out. I saw that you played some shows and you've got some other shows coming up. When you play live, do you do like a whole band or what's going on there?
No, so usually it's just me and my DJ, and we'll do backing tracks, and then we'll have I'll be up doing vocals and everything, and in between I'll play lead guitar. So, but right now we're working on getting a drummer. You know, I think that's to be full band route.
Right.
The energy on stage, you know. But for now, people seem to connect with it, even when it's just me up there. I think it catches people off guard sometimes. They're like, "What's going on? This kid's up there." And then by the end of it, they always seem stoked. I don't know. There's something about it. I feel like they can see themselves on stage, where it's like that part of them that's like, "Oh, like you know, just going up by yourself and doing it, like it's possible."
Right. Right. Well, you know, that is, there is a thing about what you're doing that has the spirit of punk rock in it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I guess that's just doing it, like, not really, kind of like figuring out how to do what you're doing as you're doing it.
Exactly. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Did you listen to a lot of punk rock? Anything?
I think it froze a little bit. You still there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you froze a little bit, too.
There we go.
Did you grow up listening to punk rock? And like, what did you grow up? How did you grow up musically?
Yeah, I mean, I always accredit my music taste to, like, skateboarding. Like, I grew up skateboarding my entire life. And a lot of the times I was the one filming and editing videos and stuff like that. And always listening to, always tuned into what new skate videos were out. And in the skate community, you have such an eclectic variety of music that it's like you're listening to everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, I remember being young in the first Tony Hawk Pro Skater games, which introduced me to, like, you know, like, you got some you got Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Right, right, right.
The Sex Pistols. You got,
right.
you know, like, all the whole range of things,
right?
So,
but they all they all have that sort of independence vibe.
Exactly,
like it's not like they're pushing some mainstream stuff down your throat. That the stuff all has kind of the same ethos, even though the music is all a little bit different. Because reggae has that as well. I noticed that skate guys like reggae too.
Yeah,
skate guys like reggae.
Yeah, totally. I think yeah, and also, like, growing up in the age where LimeWire was, like, really making a break, it was like I had a computer in my room and I was just downloading everything all the time. And, like, where I lived, it was very much like a diversity of people and things like that. So I was introduced to all types of music. Everybody was listening to different stuff. So I feel like even now, like, I'm always jumping around and trying, and, like, without even consciously doing it, genres will blend together and things like that, that it's like just stuff that I've resonated with over the years.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, Phoenix is where you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up in Phoenix. I lived there till I was 18, and then I moved to Sedona, Arizona, and lived there for a long time.
What did your parents do? Were they together? Were they, you know, professionals? Like, what kind of upbringing did you have?
Yeah, my parents are, like, extremely hardworking people. They are, my dad owns a business. And so, like, from the time I was, like, he started his business when he was probably, like, when I was probably around 14.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've always seen him just, like, put his everything into what he was doing.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't creative and things like that, like, there was still so much about showing up every day and doing
stuff.
But
is it necessarily art, but it is creative? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, I always joke with him, like, you know, he taught me how to work for myself, even if it wasn't
right.
You know, going into that same lane as him.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going to be my own boss and make my own rules, my schedule and things.
It's the same idea in skating and punk rock and everything. It's like, the man's not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell myself what to do.
Yeah, my inner rebel is definitely strong. When people tell me I can't do things, I'm like, all right.
So let me ask you this, because, like, when you got sick and you got sick and you went into the hospital, you were getting close to death. I can only imagine that your parents shit their pants when you were like, I'm out of here, man. Or were they behind that?
No, they were definitely, I feel like they almost, when it was happening, it was so much that they detached themselves a little bit from it, like, just to deal with the emotional pain.
Yeah.
And so by the time, and I had always, like, I remember being 18 and I was, like, in college and I was like, yo, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm leaving and I'm going to Sedona. And they were like, they were very, they've always, my dad's never like told me what to do. He's always just said, don't be stupid. You know what I mean? Like if I'm leaving the house to go to a party or do something, he'd be like, just don't be stupid. Like he knew he didn't have to say much more than that. Yeah. So they've, as much as at times I felt like they would have chose a different path, they've allowed me to do what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely very grateful for them. It was actually my dad's birthday the other day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yesterday. So,
I bet they're tremendously relieved and so happy.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, I know that, it's, helped them a lot just seeing me because they struggle with autoimmune diseases as well.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. And so theirs are more so like mine was killing me pretty rapidly. Like it was like, and it was almost like, the way I describe it is like when a dog gets parvo, the dog doesn't necessarily die from parvo. It dies because it can't drink water. It can't eat food. It can't consume anything.
Right.
And so it wasn't so much that the disease was killing me. It was killing me, but it had got to the point where I couldn't consume food. I could hardly drink water without being in unbearable pain. And their autoimmune conditions are a little bit more like crippling over time. You know what I mean? Like you can see it's not going to kill them if they have a flare up. Like it's going to be uncomfortable, but in the long term, it's going to cause a lot of pain. So I think seeing me go through it and also choose an alternative route as opposed to, you know, the Western medication that they were taking, I never tried to like shove anything down anyone's throat. It's like, if I can just be an example and people's curiosity gets sparked and they ask the questions, then I'm there to, you know, tell my experience and share that. So there's been things that we've both been able to like meet in and like share with each other through this journey as well.
Have you shared your story like with like the American Medical Association or anything? Like, I mean,
honestly,
can I quickly just ask you, are you of the mindset that do you have like conspiratorial or like, you know, these people are fucking terrible? Like,
yeah, I definitely have some, I think when money becomes, a goal, it kind of skews, the values and things like that. So, but like, I mean, if I broke my arm or something, I'm going to go to the doctor, you know what I mean? Like I'm not against it, but you know, they've told me there's been multiple times in my life where somebody's told me this is the only way to do something. And I'm like, there's gotta be another way. And I follow that part, whatever in my gut, in my heart, that's telling me that. And, you know, with my experience, my mom, she has a rheumatologist for her autoimmune disease that she goes and sees. And so when I was diagnosed, they sent me to the same rheumatologist. And I was very vocal about what I was doing. And the rheumatologist had come from Eastern medicine. She was originally from a different country. And so when I started talking about reishi mushroom and camu berry and stuff like that, she was very much like, oh, what is it? You know what I mean? Like wasn't like resistant to it and still asked my mom, you know, whenever she has a appointment or something like that, would be like, how's Josh doing? And she just is like, yeah, he's doing good. And it kind of like, she's like, that's incredible. You know what I mean? So, but I was almost, I remember, I feel like a few years ago, I was a little bit more, paranoid for lack of a better word. I could imagine that if news got out that there was things like this, that all of a sudden I'd stop seeing them on the shelves or something like that. You know what I mean? Like,
or guys in like a limousine will come and throw you in the back and no one will ever hear from the kaleidoscope kid again.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but nowadays, like I see, it's cool because, so like the main thing that really did it was reishi mushroom. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but it's known as an autoimmune system re-educator. And so in Chinese medicine, it's known as the mushroom of immortality. And so nowadays, over the past 5-6 years, it's become so popularized because of the idea that it will help you live a longer life, that you see it in a lot of health food supplements, in a lot of like coffees or drinks and things like that. So it's become a lot more popularized. And I'm like, this, I would be dead if it weren't for this mushroom. And people, I'm like, I don't think they understand how potent and what how much medicine they're actually consuming.
Right.
They're just like, oh, it's going to help me live longer. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's going to do that for sure.
And the thing about that shit is that it kind of, it seems like with pharmaceutical companies, they don't make as much money off of you if you're healthy.
Yeah.
So it's better to treat the symptoms than the illness itself.
Exactly. And with my autoimmune disease, the idea to me was that my immune system was attacking itself. And so if I could make it through each flare-up, then the intelligence of my immune system, the next time a flare-up comes up, we'll have a little bit better understanding. It's like, all right, last time we did this, let's try and do this time and see if it works.
Yeah.
And re-educating my immune system to be able to do it.
Wow.
Because at one point I didn't have the disease. So it was possible to get to a state where that's how I was again, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you find the reishi mushrooms?
So it was actually my roommate at the time. It was crazy because they had the way that they were treating me at the time before I had found the reishi mushrooms was with antibiotics pretty much. And I knew from my parents that after the second round of antibiotics they give you, if you're still having the flare-ups, they're going to put you on methotrexate or on something stronger which is to suppress your immune system in order to stop it from attacking yourself. Yeah. So methotrexate, like my mom receives infusions of methotrexate. It's basically like a low dose of chemotherapy. So it's to stop the immune system because it's attacking itself. And so, when I had that second round of antibiotics, I went back to Sedona and I just started spacing them out. Like if I had a flare up, I was taking it rather than taking it every day, I was taking it every 3 to 5 days. And I was like, I just need enough to not die. Like I'm going to be in pain, that's for sure. But I need to figure out how I can find something else in the meantime and before this medication runs out. And I probably had 2 or 3 of the antibiotics left. And my roommate was like, hey, we were all into like drink, you know, we moved out to Sedona to collect spring water. We were like very much on this health kick and like rewilding kind of thing. And there was this podcast that he would listen to. And it was just like kind of like a health based podcast, but it was very much like, it was kind of taboo stuff. And, in it, had this like DVD set and it had a bunch of elixirs in it. So different things for different people, you know what I mean? Different smoothies, different drinks.
Right.
And he was like, hey, he's like, there's a whole bunch of information in this, but pay attention to this thing, reishi mushroom, when he talks about it, because I know you're dealing with an autoimmune disease. And that's kind of what he brings it up about. So we watched it. And the way he described it was an autoimmune system reeducator. And then one of the crucial things was he said, there's a berry called Camu Camu berry, and it's an extremely high concentration of vitamin C. So for some reason, mushrooms, whatever the variety of mushrooms, like you have your shiitake mushrooms, which are super high in vitamin B. If you consume the mushrooms with the Camu Camu berry, that vitamin C allows you to absorb the nutrients 10 times easier than you would be able to otherwise.
Okay.
So by pairing the reishi mushroom with the Camu Camu berry is right. Where I found the relief. And so then I tried that because I was in the midst of a flare up when he showed it to me. And within like 3 to 5 days, what was normally taking the antibiotics a few weeks to do, I had seen a relief of my symptoms and it started to heal. And it was incredible. Like for me personally, like I'd had a bunch of experiences with psychedelic mushrooms that had pretty much taken me out of, you know, my own personal hell and helped save me at an emotional level or at a spiritual level. And so when I had that experience with the mushrooms saving me now at the physical level, I was like, what can't mushrooms do? Like there's so much intelligence and things that we should be looking into as far as what the hell are these things and what right. else can we benefit from them.
Has this at all made you like, is there any part of you that wants to be part of the movement that not only spreads the word? Because this is all in all of these. I heard of Camu Camu berries and shiitake mushrooms. That's how you say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In your bio. So people are out there, at least the people are getting to know, they're starting to know you, and this is probably going to come out in all the press about you. But is it something that you're interested in going into further?
I mean, I think...
Like become a doctor of this or whatever it would be called? I didn't mean to put doctor in quotes, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah. No, what I've always felt is that... I feel like an advocate for it naturally, but when I think about, my success as a musician and things like that, like if I get to a place where I'm able to really take care of myself and have a lot of income and things coming in, I always think about how would I give back in that space. And I think about, creating a charity or creating something that can, it's really important to me to, research the benefits of these things, and to preserve the land. Like, for instance, like the land where the peyote cacti grows, there's been a lot of, destruction on the land because people are coming through and building houses and building architecture and doing these things to this sacred land. And so I always think about, having a charity or a fundraiser where that money can go to research and preserving, mainly in the psychedelic field, where whether it's mushrooms, MDMA, LSD, things of that nature. But that's something that's very important to me, for sure.
Yeah, man, I have a lot of admiration for you. We haven't even started with the music yet, but let me just I really do like that's tremendous that you were able to decipher that code to heal yourself. And that you took the time to go do it. And at the same time, you made the most kick-ass jams, dude. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And now you're feeling good. Are you still taking, how do you take, like, once you're in a healthy state, do you still take those, the berries and the mushrooms?
So when I first found out and that it worked for me, I was like, okay, I'm going to take this every day. And then I had another flare up symptom because it was like, in my mind, it wasn't that I was healed. It was the body was trying to, figure out how to change what was going on inside to bring back the intelligence that was there prior to being sick.
Right.
And so then I had another flare up while taking it every day, and I realized in the process that if I didn't take it until I had a flare up, it was a lot more beneficial. And now my main source of reishi mushroom is actually from, there's a company that makes kombucha, and they have a root beer that is infused with reishi mushroom, chaga mushroom, and turkey tail mushroom. I haven't had to take any actual supplements for it, like the pure stuff of it, for a while now. But I enjoy that mushroom tonic so much that I get it all the time. So I still get reishi in my body, but I haven't had to deal with it. This stuff was not cheap as well too. When I was sick all the time, it was like, all right, I got to make sure I'm spending this much money on this month on supplements. You know,
right, right. Well, it's funny because that stuff's not cheap, but it's not like trying to get insulin.
No, you know exactly. I mean? It's
expensive
more,
for mushrooms, but not for something that'll save your life.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm willing to spend the $40 for this, you know, month's supply of this and a 40 for this and this.
So let's talk about this record. I feel like if there was a publicist listening, they'd be freaking out right now because, like, you didn't even bring up the record till 25 minutes of the thing. But I don't think Mercedes would be like that because they send people I feel like now everybody wants to know more. Everyone wants to hear what your music is like now because to hear that, you know what I mean? They've connected with the person. Everyone's got health shit they deal with, and everyone's got a little bit of freakiness when it comes to Western medicine. Everybody, even the Western medicine people.
Yeah, I agree.
You're in this cabin. You've got a guitar. What else do you have? What are you recording on to, like GarageBand, or are you?
I had Logic
okay,
Pro.
Okay.
I think actually, so the interesting thing about the album is because a lot of these songs, like for instance, some of the main songs that got released first were Hold Up and Watermelon Kisses, and the Kaleidoscope Kid.
Right.
Those songs I actually wrote like 6 years ago. Those were some of the first songs I ever produced and wrote. And so I actually recorded those ones on GarageBand. Like that was like just getting into it. All I had was my girlfriend's laptop with GarageBand. And I was like, all right, I want to try and make some stuff. You know what I mean? So I've been playing guitar for about a year at that point, and felt like it was like that was right when the idea for the Kaleidoscope Kid as a name came into my mind.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, let's try and make some stuff.
Okay. So talk to me about, like, how did you write the song, like, on the guitar? Were you writing it simultaneously while you were recording it? Where were you finding samples of shit?
Yeah, so everything in there was stuff that I had played, like, as far as, like, the guitar and things like that. I might have sampled the drums from, like, I think GarageBand has like a little loop section or something like that and pull the drum kit in from there and did the bass and the guitar and the piano and stuff separate outside of that. But a lot of the way I approach it even now to this day is I'll get the beat made and on the production side. And then write to it afterwards like that. So that was kind of how that started. I think like Hold Up was probably like the third or fourth song that I ever did, and Watermelon Kisses was shortly after that.
Wow.
And so yeah,
isn't that
so
funny? Sometimes the less you know, the clearer the message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and the interesting thing about the album is because these songs are so old, it's like, you know, there were some of the first songs I wrote, and when Suburban Noise reached out to me, they were like, hey, we love these songs, we want to, you know, bring them back to life and give them a breath of fresh air, because as much as they're old to you, they're new to a lot of people. And so there was so much growth in the meantime that it was hard for me even at first to feel connected to the music still, because I'm like, I'm not even that person anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's been 6 years since I've wrote those songs, and I've gotten a lot better. And, you know, the way I choose to express myself has changed. So even when you listen to the album, it's kind of like this mess to me, because you have five or six songs that are 6 years old. And then you have four songs on there that are 6 months old. So there's like, if you listen to Cause and Effect or Fight or Flight or Stampede, those songs I wrote a week after signing with Suburban Noise.
Right, right.
And then we were like, all right, we're going to put all these old songs out. But I didn't want, I already had, you know, a certain amount of fans and things like that and people who were listening. And so to drop an album with all old songs that they had already heard didn't make sense. I was like, all right, let's put a few new songs on there. You know what I mean? And so, so it was kind of like, for me, I was like, does this even sound cohesive? Like, but listening back to it, it does sound, everything makes sense, you know?
Yeah. The thing is I was just thinking as I was just going through, like, did I notice like a difference in any of the, I didn't.
The production. Exactly. Yeah.
So did you mix all those songs too?
Yeah, I mixed them all.
The
and
fuck?
Then, I recorded myself, and then my business partner, he's like, we're not like a band, but we pretty much might as well be, you know, he does a lot of work for me, outside of like the music and stuff, but he, also is an incredibly talented engineer, and he masters everything for me.
Oh,
so between me and my buddy. Yeah. So between me and my buddy, Matt, it's all just done in house. Usually I send him over the song and it's like, all right, master it, unless you hear anything else in the mix that you need to change,
right,
and then we'll talk about it.
Right.
Because it's nice to have that other set of ears on it. But for the most part, I send it over to him and he's like, yep, good to go. Let's master it.
Yeah. Wow, man. And did you like, in the video for Hold Up where you bury yourself, how did you bring in other people to do that? Does your friend Matt help you with that too, or what's going on?
We actually,
because the videos all have a certain look.
Yeah,
I saw that Breaking Bad sort of vibe.
So that video was actually interesting because we originally had a music video for Hold Up that had been out for 5 or 6 years.
Really?
And we were like, yeah, so all these songs were released at some level before they got re-released. They were already out floating around in the ether, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we quickly took everything down once this opportunity presented itself. And if you watch the Hold Up music video, the intro scene starts out with the television playing the old clip.
Oh,
and that old clip is the, old the original
video.
Hold Up
video.
That's
cool. That's
so
cool.
So only people who would have seen the original would be like, oh, that's a cool callback. You know what I mean? And that even sparked the idea for it because it was like, okay, I got to go back and destroy all these old versions of myself. Literally, I had to take down the old video and recreate it. So it was like, there's the idea for the video right there. Like, let's bury this old self. You know what I mean? So that way we can start and fresh.
Well, you also did that personally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's a whole bunch of transformation, like shedding your skin like a fucking lizard, a desert lizard that you are.
Yeah. Yeah. But we had actually, we hired our buddy Mac, who is an incredibly talented videographer to do that one because we wanted to just make sure that we put a little bit extra, because Matt and I normally do all the video stuff ourselves. Normally I'll have Matt film and then he'll give me the footage and I'll edit the footage. Right. And then I'll send it back to Matt and he'll put his final touches on like any little transitions and stuff. But we both grew up like editing videos, doing all this stuff. You know,
because you did the skate videos. Stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So like I was with, as far as like the Adobe programs go and stuff like that, I've been doing that since I was, you know, 13 years old. So it was like, even when it comes to like artwork and doing things like that, like I've always tried to be as much involved with the music as I can. The album artwork was done from somebody else. His name's Mossy Giant. He lives out in Amsterdam. Incredibly talented. Like if you think the artwork looks cool, like this guy goes crazy on some of his pieces. But that was just like divine timing as far as like how the artwork came together and things as well too.
Dude, my note says the artwork is amazing and it's like R. Crumb or something. Do you know who R. Crumb was?
No, the style
of it and the energy of it is is very. There was this late 60s, early 70s dude that. Did you ever see like the Keep on Truckin'?
Yeah,
that guy that's trucking. That was an R. Crumb thing and the Freak Brothers and shit like that.
Okay,
it's like total stoner trippy person art.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit more about these other songs. The rest of the videos, Mac did them with you as well?
So, yeah, Matt did those ones. We did Watermelon Kisses. We did the Kaleidoscope Kid. Like, we built a little fake coffin for that thing. We did everything. You know, between me and Matt, that's everything.
Right. So what are you going to do like another? You went to California and played, right? That was your... Or you were in California and you played there and you've got a gig coming up like in Tempe or something, but are you planning a tour in any way or are you working on new music? What phase are you in now?
Yeah, we're working on I'm working on a new album for Suburban Noise right now, and so that one's we're almost coming to like the end of that, which is cool. It feels good to be finishing that up. And then I got, like I said, I was making music for 6 years in between all this stuff. So I have albums and things that I'm sitting on that I'm just kind of waiting. I don't want to rush to put out and stuff. And we have music videos. So right now I feel like on the content creation side, I feel very much like good and in a solid place. And so that has allowed me the freedom to not have to stress so much about what I'm going to make next and to be able to focus on, okay, how do we book these tours or book these festivals or, and do shows and get on these things. Cause I feel like that's going to be the next step. Like that just seems like the next chapter.
Yeah. And you're with the booking agency, right?
Yeah. I'm with the Wasserman agency.
That's great.
So they're amazing over there.
Yeah. And a part of me just, I'm like, man, you should also write a book while you're out there. There's a lot of stuff I think you should do. You're a great artist yourself. I saw some of your stuff on Instagram.
Yeah. I've always drawn and painted and done stuff like before I picked up a guitar. So I think I've always been trying to express myself. And then when I got to music, it felt like this really was what allowed me to express myself, because I could incorporate the artwork into it. I could incorporate the lyricism. And I always wanted to be an author. Even like the Kaleidoscope Kid to me sounds more like a novel than it does an album. It's yeah. like, it started with the idea of Blue and the Kaleidoscope Kid. And that was like, oh, let's make that a book or something like that. That's something I'm hoping to do in the next decade is have a book out. And, I would love to, I always loved Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
So I would love to do an illustrated kids book. That's kind of like on the edge of being a little like, eerie but also like relatable, you know. It's like I think that's stuff that I look forward to having the resources for.
Why am I drawing a blank on the guy that wrote that book?
I can't remember his name either right now.
I think it's French or something. Anyway,
yeah.
You moved to LA for work and stuff like that. What part of town are you in there?
I'm like 10 minutes east of like Los Angeles, downtown. So
did you come to Austin for South by Southwest or anything?
No, I never have. I would love to be out there. I think a buddy of mine, they're a group called Odd Squad Family. They were supposed to be out there, but then the COVID stuff happened and we were going to make a trip out there. So we never went out there, but I've definitely heard good things about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun festival. Have you played anywhere else? Like, have you played outside of California? Have you?
Yeah, actually, Arizona had a good amount of shows, California. And then last year, we actually did a tour run with Odd Squad Family, their hip hop group, the one I was just talking about. And they.
Right.
We did like 9 or 10 states on the West Coast. And so, that was really cool. Like just going around, like, we went to New Mexico, Colorado, Montana, I can't remember. I mean, we were just for 2 weeks, you know, we're driving around doing shows.
Can I ask you a question? Cause you have I don't know what your Apple streaming numbers or your Amazon streaming, but your Spotify situation, like you've got, you know, a few million plays on there. Like even on one song has more than 2 million plays. Right.
Yeah.
Did those come from like getting playlists? How did that come? Did you notice a bump after you went on tour? And you have like 93,000 listeners a month or something like that too. It's like, it's pretty insane.
Yeah. I think originally because Hold Up, that's the song that has over 2 million streams on it.
Right.
But it was out for 5 years. And so it had acquired 1.5 million streams essentially.
So it's still holding on to those numbers or no?
So when we took the songs down.
Yeah,
we kept all the IRSC codes that are associated with the songs, so it didn't lose any of its data. So when we redistribute it, you know, it looks like it's doing really good, but it is doing good. You know what I mean? And I think we've seen a big jump since all the radio push. There's been Watermelon Kisses has been getting a lot of radio play, which has been amazing, and so. So that I feel like has been a huge boost. And then with the album dropping, and like a few shows that I had in California and things like that, I feel like it's just been, a lot of it was organic. I think not until like the last few months did we start to approach, how we could get into playlists or do these things and reach into our and tap into what resources we have and things like that. But so it feels good because there's like that cult following who were there before, where it's like, I know it's, you know, I know people like that song as much as I'm like, I listen to Hold Up and stuff and I'm like, this is not my best work, but the Spotify numbers say different.
Yeah, they do. And the thing is it's perfectly like the timing of the release. Like I'm a huge fan of seasonal music and not like holiday music, but like, I listen to more fun music as the weather warms up and I'm outside. And I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like I have a summer music thing. My cousin and I, a couple of cousins and I have a summer jams playlist that we keep going and we all work on. But I can see myself adding at least a couple of these tunes to that list.
Yeah, definitely some summertime vibes. Like we want, that was kind of intentional as well too. Like we could have released it a little bit earlier, but we kept pushing it back until and it just so happened to land on Earth Day. We were like, that sounds cool.
Oh,
let's
yeah,
do
that's
that.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. that was like a little, just like for me, I was like, all right, cool. Like that seems dope.
Well, it's amazing because I talk to so many people, and I work with this nonprofit called the Austin Music Foundation, where we provide guidance. Like I'm 53, and I've been doing this like since I had my first band playing gigs and shit when I was like 14, and so I've been slugging it out, had, you know, big label deals, indie deals, and whatever. But the one thing that a lot of people, I feel like now, like what you were able to do. Right? You were able to make your own records and put them out before you might have, like now you look back, you might re-record Hold On or rewrite some shit on there, no matter how it connected with people. It seems like people are always trying to find this fast track to get their shit up. They'll hire people to do fake, you know, numbers on their stuff. And the thing about it is that I always kind of tell people, and I'm not always sure if I'm right, but to me, the cream will always rise to the top. And if something's really great, it will get a lot of spins. And they'll be organic because people will go to the best place, not some paid-for spot, Facebook ad. And,
exactly.
And they'll go to their friend who goes like, shit, have you heard this fucking, the Kaleidoscope Kid? You know what I mean? And your music has that to me. Like, even today, like, my aunt is 70, and she... But she listens to music and keeps up with new music and all that stuff. When she came in, she was like, God, this is really great. What is this? You know?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was in there listening to it.
Yeah, I'm very much like, I get like it's something that like really like hits me deep when it's like, I'm like, I don't want it if it's just because I paid money. Anybody can throw money at the situation. Like that doesn't make sense to me. Like I want it to be real. I don't want it if it's not, right. If it's not that, you know, I don't want to go about it any other way. The way that me and Matt have always talked about it is it's a marathon, not a sprint. You know what I mean? And it's like, and we just have to keep our pace and just keep creating the best quality music we can and being honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
And like, if we do that, people are going to know, they're going to feel the genuine aspect of it.
Right. And the thing is when you start out and you're so excited, the adulation is like a good thing. Wait, dude, my wallet fell out somewhere. Oh, here it is. You want this adulation, but like even like the way that you feel about Hold On, like it, you get better later on. Like you don't really want all the eyes on you when you're trying to get your shit together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even with that, it was cool because it was like, to me, I was like, all right, if this is the music that people are connecting with, like we're 5 years ahead of schedule.
Yeah,
like we have because it's like this is I was like it's just now starting to become popular. It's like wait till you hear what else I've been working on, you know, kind of a thing. So, well,
dude, honestly, I'm really excited to hear what else you've been working on.
Thank like, you, man.
Yeah,
thank
man. You. And people can find you at tkkofficial.com. That's you got music, you got the videos, you've got some cool merch.
Yeah,
t-shirts, hoodies, hats, CDs.
Yeah, we're hoping to expand on that a little bit, but you know, you get the logo merch right now. So, but I know I'm trying to make some designs and things like that. And that's something we want to, I also like have fun doing as well.
Yeah. That also goes along with the whole skate culture as well. There's like a whole,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. I'm glad that you made CDs, but did you make any vinyl just for the artwork's sake?
No, but
you'd have to wait another 5 years to get it back.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we just haven't done it yet. I think if we wanted to, it would be no questions asked, but I think we just haven't, we've kind of felt like we didn't need to at the moment. I know we can do some, Like, I thought about doing a limited amount of them just to have, you know, some, have it out there in the world, but maybe one day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, this has been really great talking to you. Really enlightening on a lot of different levels. And really are like a just a really natural creator of great music that I want to listen to. And obviously other
people too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to play. You got to stay in touch. Let me know when you're coming to Austin. Whenever you do, I'd love to meet you in person, and maybe we could do another one of these, or at least come over and you out.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that. I'm looking forward to coming out to Texas at some point, and definitely Austin's been in my brain for a while.
Yeah. So the Kaleidoscope Kid, people can get this record wherever they stream and download music, buy a CD so you can see this beautiful artwork in a real size. That's one thing that's been so sad about the decline of the shrinking of album art to like just the smallest thing. It's like you want to hire someone to make a cool album cover, but who's going to see it? And the cooler the album cover, the smaller the thing. Can't really tell what it is. It has to be super stark. Yeah. Well, man, it's been really great talking to you. And people can find you at tkkofficial.com. Get out there, check out those videos and the music. And yeah, this was a real inspiring conversation, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you. And,
yeah, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll let you guys know when this comes out.
Sweet, sweet. All right.
Thanks,
man. You have a great day.
You too, buddy.
Later.
My lady's sweetest sugar love.
That was the Kaleidoscope Kid. His self-titled debut album is available now wherever it is you stream or download your jams. Find him at tkkofficial.com. Fantastic record. Also, gang, when you're out there checking out tkkofficial.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, everywhere. All right, like it, share it, do what you can. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and enjoy some more music from the Kaleidoscope Kid. Have a great weekend. Let's get down.
Stay up all night. I ain't never felt a love like this. This song, lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song. A sun wide child with a smile so playful, spun by the hands of time to move angels. Sung by the gods was a song for the free bird. Love was the talk on the tongues of the preachers. Imagine if Lennon survived and could be here. If love is enough, what if God was a dreamer? Would you believe if I told you that love is the answer we need? Cause everyone's looking for something, that something's right under your feet. Just move with the seasons to show you the reason we wonder and dream. And under it all, though at times we will fall, I know love's all we need. Never felt a love like this is on. Lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song. I said I never felt a love like this is on. Lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song.
My lady's sweetest sugar, love me softly, love me sweet. And her sugar is my weakness, she's the sweetest honey bee. And my baby, I've been missing all your watermelon kisses. Tell me, is this really love or just a dream? Cause I don't wanna wake up, let's just see where this dream takes us. Wonder what my dreams are made of, yeah. Cause baby, when we make love, you're the sweetest thing I've tasted. Said now baby, we could stay up all night.
I ain't never felt a love like this, it's on. Lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song. I ain't never felt a love like this, it's on. Lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song. Said I ain't never felt a love like this, it's on. Lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song. And I ain't never felt a love like this, it's on. Lay you down, baby girl, you're my favorite song.
Good loving just makes you wanna sing your heart out. Oh shit, I'm too high. Where's the lighter? Peace. One love.